Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with traditions within the church as we pick up in Matthew chapter 15, verse 2. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
They had the traditional ceremony for washing, and you would have to hold out your hands in an upright manner, and they would pour water over your hands as you rubbed your hands back and forth, up and down, and the water had to drip off of the wrist because the water is now unclean because it's touching whatever was unclean on your hands, and you've got to make sure the water doesn't fall on you. So you hold it out and up so that the water drips off your wrist and doesn't hopefully run up your arm, or that portion of your arm would be unclean. Having then poured the water over and washing your hands in this upright manner, then, because the dirty water from your unclean fingers has come down over your hands, you've got to get rid of that. So you put your hands down next, and they pour water over the top of your hands as you are rubbing your hands in a downward manner. And then finally, rubbing your fingers together as water is poured over to get rid of all of the uncleanness. And here were the disciples just, you know, grabbing the bread and eating it without going through this whole little ritual. And this is what Jesus was being challenged on. Your disciples aren't following the traditions. There's nothing in the Bible says that you got to wash your hands a particular way. And at this point, Jesus is about ready to blow tradition totally out the window. So his disciples were accused of transgressing the traditions, not going through the ceremonial washing of their hands before they eat their bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress, not the traditions, notice, but you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Oh, ho, ho, watch out now. Because even within the church, it is possible for us to develop certain traditions and to get hung up on traditions. And it is also possible that many of the traditions within the church are actually a violation of the commandment of God. There was a lady who came to church here at Calvary Chapel, invited by some of her friends, and she was visiting here from Missouri. And she happened to belong to the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. And after service, she came up to me, and she was shaking. She was so angry. She said, why didn't you face the altar when you prayed? And I mean, she was really upset. And I said, what? She said, when you prayed, you didn't turn and face the altar. Why didn't you? I said, well, I guess because I don't think Jesus lives in the altar. But the traditions, you see. Why didn't you turn towards the statue of Jesus when you prayed? But by traditions, there is the violation of the commandment of God that says we're not to have any images. So you see, we're not too far removed from the Pharisees and from the Jews who allowed tradition to actually develop to the point that by the traditions, there was actual a violation of the commandment of God. So they were accusing the disciples of Jesus of not keeping the traditions. Jesus said, hey, you're violating not the traditions, but the commandments of God by your traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and he honors not his father or his mother, he shall be free. And thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Now, the Bible says you weren't to curse your father or mother. That's the commandment of God. You're to honor them, not to curse them. But they had a tradition. If you prefaced your curses by saying, look, this is for your good and your benefit. You're a dirty, rotten, It's a gift now. I'm doing it for your benefit. I'm telling you this for your benefit. They were free as long as they would preface it by, this is a korban. This is something by which you might be benefited. And so Jesus points out that through their tradition, they had actually made allowance for an actual violation of the commandment of God. And thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. You hypocrites. Jesus is pretty straight. In fact, he gets so straight it's almost scary when we move along in Matthew here. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, the church has developed many dogmas that they teach for doctrine and are in the same position as were these scribes and Pharisees in the time of Christ, who began to honor and hold traditions and the commandments of men even over the commandments of God. So he called the multitude. And he said unto them, now hear and understand this. And here goes tradition bombed. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this is what defiles the man. Call the multitude, says, listen now. Hear me out. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Oh, boy, that is just going against that whole tradition of how you're to eat with washed hands and really even what you're to eat. So go out and enjoy a pork chop. It's not what goes into your mouth that's going to defile you. But just make sure it's cooked well. So all the tapeworms and the trichina is dead so that you won't become infected. Yuck. Eat shrimp. Because it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. This is heavy, heavy duty. Then his disciples said unto him, hey, Lord, don't you know they were really offended at what you said? And Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. There are plants that are growing, weren't planted by the heavenly Father. They're going to be rooted up. Just let them alone. Notice he didn't say go out and argue with them. Just let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them will fall in the ditch. Then Peter said to him, Lord, what did you mean by the parable? And the parable was, it's not what goes into the man's mouth that defiles him, that what comes out. Peter said, what do you mean by that, Lord? And Jesus said, don't you understand? That whatsoever you eat goes into your belly and is cast out into the dross. It goes through your body. It's purged. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. And these are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile you. You don't have to go through a ceremonial washing before you eat food. It doesn't defile you. It goes through your body, passes through. But what you say, what comes out of your mouth, it reveals what's in your heart. And out of the mouth, the hatred, the bitterness, those things that you express, the lust, the desires, these things that are in the heart, the things expressed by the mouth, and there is the true defilement of a man. Then Jesus went from there and he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, going into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he's actually moving into the territory that is Phoenician, and thus moving out from the totally Jewish community. And behold, there was a woman of Canaan, a Syrophoenician woman, who came out or lived in those same areas. And she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came, and they besought him, saying, "Lord, would you send her away? She's bugging us." What they were saying is, "Lord, take care of the daughter. Get rid of the woman. She's, she won't let us alone." But he answered and said, no doubt in the hearing of the woman, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said unto him, "That's true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, as we read the translated text, we have difficulty understanding Jesus treating a woman in this rather cold and almost insulting manner, as it would appear from our text. But let us note a few things. Number one, Jesus from the beginning knew he was going to heal the daughter. He knows all things. Jesus said, the Bible says they didn't need to testify to Jesus about anything because he knew all men. He knew what was in men. He knew what was in the heart of this woman. He knew the faith that was there. And he was drawing skillfully from her this great expression of faith that was there. And so his first rebuff was that of silence. He didn't answer her at all. And over the apparent silence of Jesus, she persisted. Until the disciples were so bugged by her, they said, "Lord, why don't you just, take care of her, and she's a menace." And Jesus, no doubt, as I say, in her hearing, said, "Look, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so she came and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, continuing to draw her out, he said, "It isn't right to take the children's bread." That is, the children of Israel, and those benefits of healing that he had brought to them. It isn't right to take that and to cast it. And here's where you got to be careful. There were two words for dogs. And the Jews often called the Gentile dogs, and it was a dirty word. Now, there are no swear words in Hebrew. They have no words to swear by in Hebrew. No curse words. If a Jew wants to curse, he has to curse in English. There are no curse words in Hebrew, which I think is quite fascinating. But the dirtiest thing they can call a person is a dog. They had these wild dogs that ran in packs that everybody hated. They were vicious. They were just hated. And so they would refer to, usually, rather than these, they would, rather than say he's a Gentile, they'd say he's a Gentile dog. But then there was another Greek word for dog, which is a little puppy, which was usually around the table as the children were eating. Now, when they ate, they didn't have utensils like we have, the knives and forks and spoon, and so the kids didn't have to learn table etiquette. But they would just pick off with their hands, and you would eat with your hands. And after you were through with your meal, you would then take a piece of the bread and you would wipe your hands off with the piece of bread. Just clean all the grease and juices off with a piece of bread. And then they'd usually take that piece of bread and toss it to the little puppies that were around the table. And so it was a very common picture in the minds of the people when Jesus said, it isn't right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the little puppies, or to cast it to puppies. And she said, yes, Lord, but the little puppies eat the bread that falls from the master's table. She said, ah, all right. Great is your faith. It was faith that conquered over the silence of Jesus. It was faith that conquered over the seeming reluctance of Jesus. It was faith that won. This mother was desperate. Some of you mothers have wayward daughters. Now, probably none of you would go so far as to say they're vexed by the devil. But here was a mother in real distress. And she came to Jesus, and her faith triumphed. Listen, come to Jesus. Don't go away until you've received. There was no way she was going to go until she received help. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Interesting, he said that also of the Roman centurion. And of this Syrophoenician woman. And Jesus departed from there, and he came near to the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain, and he sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed, and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speaking, the maimed whole, and the lame walking, and the blind were able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they've continued with me now for 3 days, and there's nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, where should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill this great multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks and brake them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And again, they did all eat and were stuffed. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside the women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and they took the ship, and they came to the coast of Magdala. Now, Magdala is probably 2 miles south of Capernaum. There in the Sea of Galilee, they have discovered the ruins of the city of Magdala from which Mary Magdalene did come. And you can see the ruins there at Magdala today. And incidentally, someone wasn't reading the scriptures carefully, and they built a church there at Magdala that they call the Church of the Loaves and the Fishes, where they said Jesus fed the multitude. But notice, he didn't come there until after he had fed the multitude in the mountains apart from there. But it's convenient for the tour buses, and so they take you down by the Sea of Galilee there at Magdala to show you the mosaic of a church where there's a loaves and fishes in the mosaic on the floor, and they swear that this is the spot where it all happened.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 15 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love, in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed day walking with Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Guess what? I just got a new book by Pastor Chuck Smith.
What? Pastor Chuck doesn't write books for kids, just big people.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, I heard about that too. My mom told me about it. It's called The Story of Noah.
And not only that, Pastor Chuck even read it to me.
Pastor Chuck read you the book?
Yep, and he can read it to you too.
The Story of Noah is the first of 4 children's books Pastor Chuck has written for kids 3 years of age and up. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless Bible stories filled with exciting facts and practical application for kids taught by Pastor Chuck. And as a gift, each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck actually reading the story of Noah so your kids can read along. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD, or to see a sneak preview of The Story of Noah, also now available as an iBook digital download, you can visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. Again, the number to call,
1-800-272-WORD.